You're listening to Clinical Conversations. I'm Joe Elia. Our guest is Dr. Shanghong Chang, first author of a paper in JAMA examining the risks of major bleeding in patients on non-vitamin K oral anticoagulants, sometimes called NOACs or DOACs, for non-valvular atrial fibrillation. Some patients who are also taking other drugs that share the same metabolic pathways as the anticoagulants, thus possibly potentiating the anticoagulant effect. Dr. Chang and his group used Taiwan's National Health Insurance Database, which covers virtually all that country's citizens. They retrospectively examined the bleeding risks associated with a dozen drugs commonly co-prescribed with NOACs that share those common metabolic pathways. Dr. Chang is a consultant and an associate professor of cardiology at Chang-Gung University and Hospital in Taipei, where he is also director of the Center for Big Data Analytics and Statistics. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Chang.
Thank you.
You examined over 90,000 patients' records retrospectively. They were all being treated for atrial fibrillation and were being given anticoagulants for that. All were taking a NOAC, dabigatran, rivaroxaban, or apixaban, and some were also taking one of the 12 other drugs. Can you tell us briefly what you found?
Basically, we have found that during the time of taking NOAC, those patients who had also combined other one of these 12 medications, some of them would have higher risk of major bleeding, comparing than the time when they were not using these combinations.
I see. So were you comparing the time that the same patient was and was not taking a NOAC, or were you comparing patients not taking those extra drugs?
All of these patients taking NOACs. So yes. What we compared was the duration with combination with the duration without the combinations.
So the time spent during combination against the time not in combination.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. And so you had an interesting method of measuring that. You used instead of the usual person, you know, or patient years, you used patient quarters. So that was gave a kind of a finer grained look at their drug use, didn't it?
Yes. Okay. That's the key component of this study.
Okay. So there are all kinds of possible confounders in a study like this. So tell us how you avoided those confounders or adjusted for them.
The conventional methods, we could have tons of confounding cofactors. For example, you will have those time using NOACs and the digoxin and the amiodarone, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite difficult to dig out the relative risk between these combinations. So what we had used is we call that time quarter models. So basically, that we cut the time span into quarters,
yes,
instead of years or for the days. So you will have some quarters with this combination and those quarters without the combinations. So when you examine the bleeding risk in for these patients, in the whole duration of NOAC using, you will get an estimation for the relative risk of bleeding. So it's possible to exclude some, for example, if the bleeding event occurred in the time span of, let's say, NOAC plus amiodarone and NOAC plus digoxin versus NOAC without these combinations, you could detect the signal of the increased bleeding after some adjustment for, let's say, aspirin PPIs or the history of bleedings. So
yes,
it's basically that clear control, or let's say cleaner control. So
I'm sorry, what kind of control?
Is it cleaner reference?
Okay, it's cleaner. It's a cleaner control.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Your National Health Service and National Insurance Service there, it records everybody's prescriptions, and you say in the paper that those prescriptions are only renewed on a quarterly basis. So that gives you a better sense of whether the patient was taking the medicine, but it doesn't give you a precise sense, does it?
I think so, because we were not sure whether the patient is taking this medication or not. What we knew was the patient were giving this NOAC, but we are not sure did they taking the pills or not.
Uh-huh. So you could only compare if they were both taking NOAC and were being and had an active prescription for one of those 12 drugs that shared the metabolic pathway of the NOAC.
Yes, that's what we did.
Okay. What were the most hazardous combinations that you found?
I would say the most risky combination was fluconazole plus NOAC.
And that is an antifungal drug.
Yeah.
And so that was a novel, as you say, that's a new observation, isn't it?
I think so. There were a few case reports reporting that this bleeding risk associated with fluconazole and the NOAC. There's some case reports.
Uh-huh.
So that's not that new, but the estimation of the extent of risk is new.
Okay. And so the other was amiodarone?
Yep. That's the second one.
Okay. And the other two that increased risk were rifampin and phenytoin.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And you said that I'm not a clinician, I'm not familiar. You say in your paper that some of these drugs are commonly prescribed to patients on NOAC because of polypharmacy, because they have more than one condition and they need to take more than one kind of drug. And so you observe that some of these drugs, I think amiodarone is one that you say, even if the patient needed the drug, even if the patient needed amiodarone, the risk of bleeding offsets the benefit from the amiodarone.
We are not sure about that.
Okay.
The message here is the risk bleeding is obvious.
Okay.
But we don't know the benefit of amiodarone in this combination.
Okay. All right. See, I told you I wasn't a clinician. So, the results you write may not be applicable to non-Asian populations given the different bleeding profiles between Asians and Westerners. Can you briefly describe those differences?
Yes. Asian has higher intracranial hemorrhage risk than non-Asians or than Westerns. Mm-hmm. So the risk of intracranial hemorrhage, or let's say a hemorrhagical stroke, we found in this study might be higher than the instance of Westerns. So the risk of this combination is probably higher than the risk of combination in Western.
I see.
Especially in the intracranial hemorrhage.
Okay.
So about the gastrointestinal bleeding, there seems to be a little equal or close between these two populations.
I see. So the signal that you have detected is, although it's not strictly comparable between Asian and Western populations, is still there even among Western populations.
And I think so.
Yes. Okay. And were there any other surprises in your findings?
Yes. In the guideline of HA or ACA, they suggest you should not combine, let's say, atorvastatin or diltiazem, or let's say
atorvastatin or diltiazem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. With NOACs, because it might increase the serum level of NOACs.
Uh huh. Okay.
But we did not see the increased bleeding. Instead, we saw a little a marginal decrease bleeding in this combination. So it seems too safe to use this combination with NOACs.
Okay. What would you hope to see happen in the clinic as a result of your findings?
I would hope to see the clinicians and the patients should be aware NOAC carries some risk, even they were being described to a safer or better anticoagulant than warfarin. But I would hope to see clinicians to be aware of this substantial risk.
Okay, so that's not without risk. This is your message.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Especially when you combine them with these common drugs.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time with us today, Dr. Chang.
Thank you for having me.
That was our 214th edition. All earlier conversations may be found at podcasts.jwatch.org. We come to you from NEJM Journal Watch. Kristen Kelly is the executive producer here for the NEJM Group. I'm Joe Elia. Thank you for listening.